Greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord together. And enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'd like to read here from the book of Mark as we begin here this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Take it, multiply it to our hearts and to our understanding. And use it, Father, to do whatever you choose by your Holy Spirit this morning in each one of our hearts. Be magnified, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Appreciate the theme that has come out already this morning. And it was where my heart was this past week as things unfolded, if you will. I was reminded at different times along the journey of the week, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to me? And is that a valuable question? Is that a good question to ask? And I don't want to get into a lot of things this morning involved necessarily in the circumstances, but I want us to ponder for just a minute, if you will, some of the circumstances or some of the things that may be beyond the purview of the exact event. There was somebody else, and to my understanding, he's sitting in the audience this morning that was in the barn when it collapsed. Adriana was a passenger in the car in the accident. Brother Jared shared this morning somebody was pulled back from the brink before they fell off the edge. I was pondering Brother Arnold this past week. No necessarily good direction as we perceive life, physical life here on planet Earth. What is God saying to us this morning? Ruth didn't survive the accident. What is God saying to us this morning? What are we going to allow him to tell us this morning? And there's a whole lot of things that involved and evolved in my own heart, in my own mind as I pondered these things. And I had to come back, and I guess where I was drawn to was this passage of scripture this morning that I just read. There is nothing the morning of the days of all of these events that any of us could have predicted or known what was going to happen. It was a normal day for all of them, for each one of them. Whether they were spared, whether they were on the other side of the barn when the roof came down. And I'm going to speak specifically to those two events right now. There was no way of foretelling and or knowing any of those things from happening. Just like in this scriptural story here, there is no way in the morning when those disciples got up that they could have known that they were going to do something that was normal and cross over the sea, and that they would be put into a very perilous position, into a very perilous situation. There was no way for them to know that. In fact, it says here, if you look, Jesus said to them, "Let's pass over onto the other side." It's a normal request. It's a normal statement to make. It's without knowing what was going to happen. The possibilities are endless. Does that mean that we stop doing or that we stop engaging? It was a normal request. Nothing out of the ordinary. What's the event here? They took Jesus into the ship. When they were out on the water, and it says here there was a lot of little boats with him, around them, and a storm arose, and it made a very tumultuous situation, or a very risky situation. I don't know how many of you have been in a boat when it gets windy and the waves get too high, and it's not comfortable anymore. Anybody have a little bit of fear when that happens? Can anybody identify with that? There's a few hands up. Yeah, some more. Either the rest of you haven't been in a boat like me, or... yeah, we'll leave it there. It's not a comfortable feeling. It's not necessarily a wrong place to be. But it's an event that takes place. And they get in these boats and they go to the other side. And there's significant geography that goes with the setting they're in. And winds are known to come down off of the mountains where they were crossing. And this can happen. So even with that knowledge, they still decided to go across in the ship. It says Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and he fell asleep. And the disciples and those that were with them in the boat were subject and or were feeling the effects of the boat going up and down. And the waves splashing, maybe even water coming into the boat. I don't know that. And they get to a place where they're fearful. They are terrified of what's going to happen. And they go to Jesus, which was the right thing to do. And that's the encouragement I have for us this morning. To consider, where is my go-to when the waves of life are rough? Whether there's death involved, whether there's a traumatic event involved, where we've been spared, whatever the circumstances of life may be, whether it's a disease that you have, and you're experiencing the ravageness of cancer as an example. And to each one of us, none of us know here, sitting here this morning, that that very thing may be brewing in our own bodies. There's nobody here this morning that doesn't know, that knows what may take place in our lives. We don't know that. But is our go-to in the storms of life Jesus? And that's the question I want to ask us this morning, that we need to ponder with. Is your go-to Jesus? Or is it some other source or some other entity that somehow we feel that there might be an answer here or there? Or is it necessarily someone? And I'm not saying that someone doesn't have something to offer to us. Don't misunderstand me, please. But I'm asking is your go-to Jesus? Is your love my love for Jesus of such a description in relationship? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now they got one thing right here, and I was delighted with that fact. They went to Jesus. But somehow it became his fault, if you will. There's the accusation. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you get it? We're on the way out here. We're on the way of falling out of the boat. We're on the way of sinking. This wind is so grievous. We're going down. Jesus, don't you care? How can you be sleeping? And we're sitting here in fright and in terror as to what's going on. Did it become Jesus' fault? And I've heard the testimony of many a people. And I stop and I listen. When traumatic events happen and things happen, we end up in a place where we blame God. We lash out at God. And we ask this question of humanity, why? Why did this have to happen? Jesus turns to them. He wakes up. He does take care of the issue. What was the issue? The issue was the high wind and the tumultuous waves. And I just want to reiterate with each one of us this morning. I don't care how big your waves are in life. I don't care what your experiences are that are traumatic. In light of what Jesus can do, it's small, if you will. Yes, I care from my heart that you experience that. But I know and I have confidence in God that He is able and He is so much bigger. And He can deliver whatever that is. It says that calm came over the sea. And everything settled down. That in itself is a miracle. If you have a windy lake and you're out on that lake and all of a sudden the wind ceases, it takes the water a while to settle down and the boat stop moving erratically. It says there was calmness that came upon the sea. Peace, be still, were his words. And the wind ceased. And there was great calm. Now it says Jesus turned to them. And he asks the question to the disciples and those that were with him. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And it's a good question that we have to ask ourselves. Because we are in these life's experiences, whatever they may be. Whether it's driving down the road and losing control. Whether it's in a building that collapses. Whether it's the ravages of disease and cancer and all kinds of things affect us. When we are in the boat, when we are in the boat with Jesus, the question is, why do we fear? Perfect love casts out fear. Different context. But I want us to understand this morning that no matter what life is bringing us and what experiences of life are coming, being in the boat with Jesus ought to remove fear. You with me? Does that make sense? The only reason that I One of the reasons that I would have fear at this point in time is because of the next point that he makes. How is it that you have no faith in my presence in your life? Now, I fully believe and I have confidence that they could have gotten over to the other shoreline and the wind and the waves could have kept on beating them and causing issues with them in the boat. And being with Jesus would have got them there. And sometimes these storms of life get pretty intense, and I get that. But our confidence and our belief in Jesus will get us there. It will get us to where he wants to take us. Is your relationship of such, of this confidence and trust in Jesus, that you can be delivered? Now, my Bible says so. But I'm asking you to consider that question this morning. Why are you so fearful? Let's stop there for just a minute. If you are in Christ this morning, let's get Brother Willis up here to start preaching now. But if you are in Christ this morning, if you are hid with Christ, if you are hid in Him, and you are sitting, your spirit is sitting in heavenly places with Christ, does that not remove fear? Whether you survive the car, survive the roof, whether you perish in the roof, or under the roof, or in the vehicle, or the disease, or whatever may come. The Bible says, Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate you from Christ when you are in Him. You get that? There's nothing that can separate you from that. This morning, I would have reason to believe and confidence in my heart. Ruth has not been separated from Christ. Death, Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, can't even separate you from Christ when you are in Christ. peril. The roof falling on your head. Being caught in the fire. Whatever your example is this morning of life, there is nothing when you are in Christ that can separate you from the love of Christ. Why are you so fearful? And I keep coming back, and I need to apply this to my own heart and life this morning. I am fearful because of my lack of confidence in Christ. That's personal. And my faith is affected. We have to reckon this morning. Here's a biblical fact. Not my words, but God's word. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Do we believe that this morning? Did somehow being in the boat with Christ and being in Him somehow remove the reality that you and I can somehow escape death here of our physical bodies on planet Earth, this side of Jesus' return? You have this morning an appointment. I don't say this to cause fear in your heart, but I say this because the Bible says you have an appointment with God that you will draw your last breath at some point in time. You might be 19 years old when that happens. You might be 12. You might be 10. You might be 50. You might be 35. You might be 75. I don't know when that appointment is made. But God knows this morning. You will not escape that appointment that God has made. Our dear friend Ruth didn't escape that appointment with God. But to you and I who are alive and remain this morning, we can count on the absolute faithfulness of God to preserve us, not necessarily here on planet Earth, but to preserve us in Christ. And I want to drill that. That's the whole gist of where I want to go this morning, if you will, is for us to have an absolute understanding that even though there's physical death, it does not separate us from Christ when we are in Christ. And so if you are in Christ this morning and your appointment comes up, yes, for those that are alive and remain here on planet Earth, it's a grieving. I get it, and we ought to grieve, and I bless you to grieve. I want you to grieve. But I want you to also recognize and know that to those who are in Christ and their appointment date comes up, it's a day of rejoicing for them. It's a day of absolute freedom from this world of sin and from this world of temptation and from this world of trauma and from this world of anxiety and from this world of fear that we live in. It's absolute victory day. Dear brother and sister this morning, are you interested in victory day? I am. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to the day when the Lord returns to take me. Or take us, however He chooses to do that. We need not fear because of our faith in Him. Now, I'm going to draw the boat from another angle. And where does it say that Jesus was sleeping? In the front of the boat or the back of the boat? the back of the boat. So we're going to call this the back of the boat. This morning, I'm asking you to consider your heart. My own heart. Sometimes in this life, when the waves are tumultuous and high, we find ourselves hanging on to the side of the boat. And why do we hang on to the side of the boat? Is it because our lack of trust and faith in Jesus in the back of the boat that he can get us through? Is there some kind of trust and confidence in something else and we become subjected to the waves of life? Now, don't misunderstand me this morning, because being in the boat with Jesus, we will be subject sometimes to the waves of life. I get that. You with me? That's important to understand. But sometimes we willingly crawl out and hang onto the side of the boat thinking that I can have Jesus and that I can do the high-risk maneuver out here and have some of the world. We even sometimes go a step further. We sometimes aren't even in the boat, and we're just trying to hang on to a rope while the boat keeps on sailing. And we're subjected to everything that this world has to offer and give to us. I'm asking us this morning to consider, please, are you in the boat with Jesus? Am I in the boat with Jesus? Because that's the place where we can be hidden in Christ. Does he have power to control these things out here? Yes, he does. And by his mercy, by his great mercy, he continues to try to draw us in and convince us to come into the boat. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because I also want to highlight this morning the faithfulness of God. Beginning to read at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And get this, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know this morning that when our confidence and our trust and our lives are put in Christ, we come behind, we don't come behind in anything. You have access to the full resources of the glory of God to be overcomers, to be what he has called you to be in Christ Jesus. It says he's confirmed you unto the end, blameless. Is that important this morning? Yes, through Christ. In Christ, we are confirmed in him, settled in him, solidity in him. And it takes us through to the end while we remain faithful in Christ. Verse 9, he keeps his promise. If he's confirmed you, if he's brought you into the kingdom of God and you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are in Christ, you're not only confirmed, you're coming behind in nothing, but he keeps his promise because he's God and is faithful to the end. Whether death separates us physically from this life or maims us or hurts us or whatever the case might be, our confidence is not in this flesh that lives here on planet Earth. It is in Christ Jesus who can deliver you and I and has confirmed to do so and is faithful to be able to do so. There's a few things said this morning in our children's lesson. I hope you caught it. I almost thought Brother Willis was going to get ahead of me this morning, and that would have been all right, because we'd do it again. 1 John 4. Beginning to read at verse 7. I want you to pick up this highlight, because I want you to go out of this place this morning assured of God's love for you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. See, I want us to understand this morning, no matter what's happening while we are in the boat with Jesus Christ, or if you choose to be on the outside of the boat, it does not change the foundational concept that the very essence and inner being of God is based on God's love. Sorry. That is the fullness and of who God is. And his love extended to you and I is boundless. Because the very heart of God is based on love. How do we know that? For God so loved the world, you and I, that what did he do? You can rhyme it off. He gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's nothing else out there making you and I any kind of an offer of that great a love. That alone comes from God. And he did not hold back in his love for you. So when storms of life come, when circumstances arise, when death occurs, it does not eliminate the very fact that God is love. That's how he functions, that's how he breathes, that's how he exists. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When we are in Christ, that's how that manifests itself. That's his word. If God so loved us, because you and I, in our state and in our existence, aren't a pretty picture outside of Christ. You might have good looks. Your nose might be planted right. Your ears are on the right way. You might have beautiful blue eyes or green eyes or brown eyes or brown, yeah, whatever.
It might be just all together, but apart from that, we are wretched, full of sin. And apart from the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not pretty. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God arrests and completes our understanding. Romans 5:8. I'd like to turn there. Get this point this morning of the faithfulness of God and assurance of his love. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that is your and my state. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I, that you and I could be delivered from our state of sin. I jumped ahead of the game because I mentioned Romans 8, but I'd like to go back there. Romans 8, begin reading at verse 38. Because he says here, the writer says, for I am persuaded. Let's just stop there for just a minute. Am I this morning, are you persuaded, absolutely convinced, without question or without doubt, when you are in the boat with Jesus? I hope you understand my thought process. When you are in the boat with Jesus, when you are in Christ, you can be persuaded that neither physical death here on earth, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to go from here this morning with that confidence that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. He is faithful. He is able. There is no limitations with him. And even though we experience some of the traumas and experiences of life, God's love is always there. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I'm just going to read this yet. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, this is Jeremiah of old, before the cross, on the other side of the cross, if you will. Getting a picture and an example from the word of the Lord. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you. And that love is everlasting. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you into the boat, if you will. This morning, I don't know if you're in the boat or not. Only you can answer that. But this morning, I trust you have a desire to be in the boat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the cross, as it were, and whether sleeping or fully awake, knowing that he's got you covered in the boat. You're at the risk of everything that's going on around you if you choose to get out of the boat or have never gotten into the boat. You're at the mercy of whatever is going on out there. Yet God's love is even active when you are outside the boat, hanging on for dear life. Counting the cost of whether you want to get in the boat or whether you just want to swim behind the boat. Or not even being close to the boat. Maybe you're running from God this morning and you just want to get away from the boat. Please, just let me go. Let me get out of here. Let me just do my own thing, my own way, the way that my flesh wants to take me. I don't even want to be connected to the boat. I want you to know that God still loves you. But what are you going to do with God's love this morning? What are you going to do with his love? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to fall before him? Are you going to bend a knee to him? It's going to happen sooner or later. It's what the Bible says. Whether you do it personally or whether you do it when you stand before him with really no choice in the matter. It's what the Bible says. This morning, are you in the boat? If you're not, today's the day to get into the boat. Getting into the boat with Jesus. Where no matter what happens, nothing can separate you from him when you're in the boat. May the Lord bless.